Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Shattered Silence, Stories of Recovery and Resilience. My name is Jory, and today I am here with my good friend, Adriana.
Hi.
Hi. Adriana and I actually met on Instagram after Kyle passed away because, unfortunately, her husband, Eric, also passed away in March of 2023 before Kyle passed away. So we've just kind of connected on Instagram and literally we'll just text back and forth about all the stupid things we're dealing with at the
time. All our feelings that we hate.
Like, literally, our messages are, like, this long. Like, text messages back and forth. Sometimes, which we've only done it, like, maybe once, talk on the phone. We're like, it's too much to text. Let's just talk.
But it's so nice to have someone who knows, you know. Like, I can text you and you're like, oh, my gosh, I feel the same
way. Yes. Thank God. It's, like, all the things. And plus, like, I feel like, I mean, even talking a little bit about, like, your daughter, Emmy, and just getting her into counseling, because I personally experienced grief as a kid, and just to dating, to all the things that we have to deal with now as widows, you know? You know, I've told my story, and I know your story, but, you know, I'm just going to give you free range to just tell your story the way you want to tell it.
Okay.
You know, I know that it was, I mean, regardless, losing someone is awful.
Yes.
So all of it was awful, but just tell your story, what you want people to know.
Alrighty. So Eric and I were married for, it was going to be our 5-year anniversary, a couple months after he died. He was a recovering addict. He was clean, but he did die of an accidental overdose. We had some ups and downs in our relationship where he would go back into his addiction. The longest I'd say was maybe like 2 months and then he'd get clean. But yeah, so he owned a moving company. So he had a job. We were living in California at the time. And he had a job moving someone out to Arizona. He usually stays the night in, like, court site, and then he'll finish his trip. He always calls me when he gets to his destination, hotel, anything like that. I had a really weird, strange thing happen. It was, like, 11:30, and he didn't call me, and I had, like, just the weirdest feeling. And I didn't want to call him, so I didn't. I just checked his location. I saw he was there. He, like, posted... Oh, he reposted my story on Instagram, like, 20 minutes before.
Oh, okay.
So I was, like, in my head, I'm like, okay, he just fell asleep. Like, it's fine. He'll call me tomorrow. I wake up not feeling good. I just did not feel good.
A weird
just
feeling.
a weird feeling like something is not right. I tried to call him, he did not answer me, but the strangest thing is that, you know, like on Instagram it'll tell you like active so many minutes ago. So it said that on his phone. Still till this day I'll never figure out why, because
that's
he was not
weird.
Very weird. And my cousin's husband actually told me the same thing. He was like, no, like it said like he was active online, like
weird.
And then I was thinking, because once he didn't answer my phone call, I tried calling him on Instagram. So I'm wondering if that activated it to say that. So, yeah, he didn't answer me. I just, again, kind of left it for, like, an hour. And then I checked his location again, and I was like, you know what? He probably lost his phone, like, or someone stole it. Like, he's probably almost there.
Right.
Text his best friend, because he was going to get to his best friend's house. And he's like, nope, I haven't heard from him. And I text him back, and I said, I think he's dead. And he's like, don't say that. And then after that, I called the hotel, and it was about 11:30. I started calling them, and nobody answered for, like, I want to say 45 minutes.
Yeah, I feel like that's already, like, kind of weird, too.
Yeah, it was really weird. And
especially, hotel, not answering.
And I was like, okay, like, something is up. I tried again like an hour later and they finally answered me and I was like, hi, what time is your checkout? And she was like, are you calling for Eric immediately? And I was like, yes. I was like, did he check out? She's like, well, checkout is at 10:30. We tried to go up to his room. We banged on the door. We tried to open the door, but the deadbolt was on.
Mm-hmm.
So we just left him and charged him another night.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
So
like, you're literally banging on the door, you know, like, and I was at my parents' house that day. I took the kids over there because usually when he was out of town, I'd go to my parents because mm-hmm. we lived like 45 minutes from them. So he just wasn't alone with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
We had just put the kids down for a nap and I'm like upstairs. Me and my mom were about to go to the store. She's like, are you ready? And I was like, yeah, just give me a second. My parents didn't know anything about Eric being an addict.
Oh, okay.
Nobody
yeah,
knew.
Yeah, I mean, that no was one, the same with
yeah.
my family didn't know yeah. either,
yeah.
you know?
Like, they just...
Because you hold that, like, secret
yeah.
with them,
yeah.
you know? Because you don't want people to think a certain way yeah. about them, because you know who they are as a person.
Yeah.
And you really don't want people to know. So, yeah, yeah. it's hard to keep that secret in,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, you don't want people to see them in a different light or in a different
yeah.
way, because that's not who they are.
Right.
And unfortunately, with addiction, the judgment comes with
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
you tell people and they just write them off as some kind of addict.
Right.
And that's not what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And it hurts.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So then what, yeah, what
so
did your mom...
So she's telling me this. I'm upstairs on the phone, and that's when I went hysterical. I was
mm-hmm.
like, you need to call the police right away. And I'm like running down the stairs at this point, like going out of the garage. I don't know if I thought I was like going to get in the car
yeah.
and start driving.
Yeah.
I like run to the garage. My parents are in the living room. And I was like, you need to call the police right now. He's an addict. He probably overdosed. Like, you need to get in there immediately.
Ugh, yeah.
And then she was like, then she started panicking. And she was like, oh my gosh, I'll call you right back. And then I think she like hung up on me. And I'm like, how are you going to call? Like, you don't have my number,
yeah.
first of all, like,
yeah.
but she like hung up to call the police. And then my parents like following me outside and they're like, who are you talking about? Like, who's an addict? Who's,
yeah.
you know? And I'm like, Eric, I'm like going crazy. And then I'm pretty sure Emmy was there too. It's kind of like all a blur. And she
right.
was like, I'm like sitting in the garage. And my dad's, like, trying to calm me down, and my mom's kind of asking me more questions, like, addicted to what? Like, what? Because,
yeah.
I mean, we lived with them for a year prior to
yeah.
that. Like, you would never think
yeah.
anything
yeah.
like that. Like, nothing.
Yeah.
And she's, like, trying to ask me questions, and I'm, like, screaming, and I'm like, he's dead! And I looked up, and Emmy's standing right at the door. And I was like, okay, I have to, like, stop. Like,
yeah.
I have to get myself kinda together.
Like,
yeah,
you
and
out
that's,
of it
like,
a little
when
bit.
I think my mom took her inside. Like, it kind of just was a blur.
Yeah.
After that, I think I called his best friend back, and I told him, you know, like, what they told me on the phone. I called the hotel back, so I was like, I need, like, they didn't have my information.
Right.
At this point, like, me and my dad are outside our house, his house, and, they said they'll give the number to the detector, or the officer, when they get there. So I stood out there what felt like hours.
Mm-hmm.
I really couldn't even tell you how much time it was
because yeah.
I don't remember.
I have no idea, yeah.
No idea. I'm sitting out there with my dad, and yeah, they call me back. And my dad answered because I was hysterical at that
mm-hmm.
point. And, you know, like, your dad's just trying to protect you. And,
right.
You know, like... And I think I remember saying something like, you can't save me from this. Like, you can't, if he's dead, he's dead. Like, give me the phone. Like,
right.
you know? And then, because
yeah.
the detective was like, is this Eric's wife? And then my dad was like, no, it's, you know, and I was like, just give me the phone. Like,
yeah,
this is not something you can
yeah.
save me from. And so I get on the phone and I'm like, are you with him? And she's like, yes. And I was like, where is he? Is he alive? Is he alive? Like, please tell me. And I like wasn't giving her room to talk. And I'm like
mm-hmm.
yelling in the phone. I'm like, is he dead? And you just wait what felt like forever. And she was
yeah.
like, yes, ma'am, he's deceased. And then I think the first thing I yelled at her was, I have 3 kids. What the fuck am I supposed to do? And then you could just hear her voice cracking. And she started crying.
Yeah.
And after that, another blur. I don't remember. They're
yeah.
asking me questions. I'm like, I'm on my way over there right now. Like, I'm 2.5 hours away, but I'm going to go because I, like, want
right.
to see him.
Yeah.
She's like, no, you can't. You cannot see him. If you come get, like, if you get here, you're not
going to be able to see him
yeah,
anyways.
You're not going to be able
yeah.
to see him. they didn't tell me what that they found at that point, you know, uh-huh. that there was...
You just knew that they found him.
I just knew. And, you know, he'd been clean for quite some time, but, I mean, why else would he be dead?
Yeah.
You know? Like, he's... Yeah, so...
And especially you being the one that knows the secret. Yes. And you're just like, it has to be that. Because I felt the same way.
Yeah.
When I find Kyle on the couch, you know, and I'm like,
yeah,
oh, he had a heart attack. But, you know, in the back of my head, I'm like...
You want to convince yourself.
Yeah, there's no way. Yeah. He took something. Yeah. He relapsed, you know?
Yeah. And, like, you don't want to believe it, you know? And I even saw Eric the day before, like, right before he left for his trip, because he had, like, a big box truck. And with that, you have to, like, go, you drive past the scales, and you're not allowed to be over a certain weight. And he was.
Okay.
He called my mom, and I was there. I don't know. I don't think he knew I was there. And I answered. He was like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Nothing. I'm just hanging out." Like, he was already kind of sketched out. He was like, "Oh, I was going to ask your mom if I can come over and, like, drop some stuff off because the truck is too heavy." And I was like, "Yeah, we'll be here." And he was like, "Okay." So he came in, and I could tell immediately. Like, I looked at his
eyes. He was on something.
And I was like, the first thing I said was, like, "You're high." And then he was like, "I didn't come here to fight with you. I'm not doing this right now." And I let it go for whatever reason. Yep. I was like, "Okay." I was like, "We're not fighting. You're not high. Like, that's fine. Let's just let me help you." Like, so we did, like, the last time I saw him, like, it wasn't a fight over that.
Right. Which
I'm glad, but then at the same time, you know, like, sometimes the guilt, like, you knew he was high. So why?
And you just can't help but think about that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I totally feel the same way. Kyle actually was, like, drinking the night before, and I was pissed at him. He ended up sleeping out on the couch that night, you know? And I'm like, we were fine in the morning, and we talked, and everything was fine. But yeah, I still feel like, well, what if we just got down, like, you know, we just talked about it in the morning. I was going to talk to him when I got home later, and then that never came, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just one of those things that you're just like, think of all the what ifs, you know? But there's nothing, I mean, there's nothing we could have done.
No.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then after he left.
Yeah, after he left.
Did you guys talk much?
I didn't realize, but the day after, once I found out he was already gone, I had a missed call from him, but my phone never rang.
Oh.
So, yeah, it was very interesting. And it was, like, still while he was driving. But, no, we didn't talk after I saw him. And when they – so she didn't tell me much, probably because I was so hysterical on the phone. She probably couldn't tell me anything.
So who's on the phone with you? Was it the coroner?
It was the officer.
It was still the officer.
Found him. And another thing that she said that was very interesting to me was that when she opened the door, like, with the deadbolt on, she's like, you could see his legs, like, on the floor. And I'm like, why didn't the hotel people see that? Like, if you're seeing that just by opening the door, like...
Yeah. You said you tried to open the door, so why didn't...
Yeah, so what is happening? Yeah, so that was another
really
thing...
Like, peek in there, you know?
Right, just like try to open it.
We tried, and then we don't want to see something we don't want to see, you know? But still.
Yeah, so she told me that. And then eventually she told me, like, he was already dead for over 12 hours. So going back to that weird feeling I had the night before, I'm like, was that when it all happened?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but I just had this weirdest feeling, like, something is not... Right.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people, like, with grief, like, someone that you're close with, a lot of people do get that feeling.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to think, too, like, if I had any sort of feeling, and I really didn't.
Yeah.
Like, thinking about it, I really didn't. I was at my sister's house before I headed home, but I didn't have any really weird feeling, but I feel like more often than not, people are like, I just had this feeling in my stomach.
Yeah.
Like, something was really off.
Yeah.
So, like, so then what happens? So you're on the phone.
I'm on the phone.
With the officer.
You know, it is so crazy because, like, when your person dies, you don't know what happens next. And you're, like, supposed to do all these things.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, you have to, like, get in touch with the funeral home and know, like, do this and that. And I'm like, my husband just died. Like, yeah. I don't want to talk to you guys. Exactly. Like, this is the last thing I want to do.
I can't deal with anything right now.
Oh, my gosh. It's just so crazy how much, I mean, yeah, you have to do, like, all this. So we ended up, I called his mom. I told his mom. His mom.
That phone call's hard, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was really hard. And also, when I don't really remember, I think all I remember, because I did call her as well before and told her, like, he didn't answer me, so I called the hotel and this is what they told me and blah, 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 and all this stuff. So she kind of knew also.
Right.
And I called her back and I think I just screamed, like, he's dead.
Yeah.
And that's like. Yeah. I think she started hysterically crying, and then they're, like, asking you questions, like, what's his social, like, the officer, like, we need to get all this information. Like, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, please just, So they were going to take him to a funeral home there in Quartzsite, and my mother-in-law, she knew someone that owned a funeral home in Mesa, where we used to live in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, a friend, so she knew they would take care of him, you know? Uh-huh. So she was like, you know, if you want them to take over, you have to call and you have to, like, tell them this and this.
Right.
So I did that. And they ended up taking him. The next morning, I had to drive out to get the truck because it's still full of this customer's house.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I have to go to the hotel.
You still have to do things.
Like, I have to do all this. I have to figure out how we're getting this move finished. You know, like,
seriously.
Oh man. Yeah. It was, had to do that. And
yeah, there's so many things that you really don't think about.
So much. Yeah. Yeah.
So then how did they, like, You kind of knew.
So I knew, and when I called the officer again, I want to say, because it was on a Sunday when I found out everything. And I believe I called her Sunday, like, after my nerves calmed a little bit, and I was like, where was he? Like, was he laying on the floor? Was he in the bathroom? Was he on the bed? Was he this and that? And she wouldn't tell me. She's like, I can't tell you any of that information. And I was like, that is just, that's weird, you know? And so the next day, I called, the funeral home called me, and they were like, okay, like, we have someone, like, we have him, they got him, so they were taking him to do, like, an autopsy wherever that office was. Uh-huh. And I was like, can you give me information? I was like, where was he? Where, like, where was his body?
Yeah.
And I was like, were there drugs in the bathroom or in the room? Like, can you tell me any
anything
of that? Like, any of it.
I know.
And she was like, you know what? One of our guys was there. Let me call him, and I'll call you back. And so she called me back, and she was like, she told me something. They found him in a praying position, which was very strange because he was never religious. But about 3 months before he died, he made us all go to church every Sunday for those 3 months.
Gosh, that's
and
crazy.
He would start reading Bible verses every day.
Yeah. Did okay, really random, but did Eric ever, like, talk about dying young?
Yes.
He did?
All the time.
Okay, see? I feel like...
Like they know, the but they... Yeah, yes. I know what you mean.
It's
so
almost
weird.
Like, do they just not care anymore?
Yeah.
Like, they just openly talk about, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes
they,
you're
like,
just like... Yeah.
Because he would, like, joke about that all the time, and he'd be like, if I make it to 50, like, I'll be so happy. And I'm like, 50?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. He's like, yeah, I don't want to grow old. Like, I'm going to die young. And I'm like, oh, I hope not.
I
like,
know. And Kyle would say that, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know. I just know I'm going to die young.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I sure hope not, you know? And we would, like, kind of talk about that, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, even... Man, Kyle was, like, obsessed with watching Breaking Bad.
Oh, my God. Eric,
and,
too.
Was he?
Yes.
It's so funny how, like, much, like, similarities we have. Because I feel like Kyle and Eric also sound very similar.
Yes, yes.
But, yeah, he would watch Breaking Bad all the time. And that part of that girl overdosing, mm-hmm. he would always say, like, gosh, like, this part is, like, fucked up, you know?
Yeah.
And he, I don't know, he watched it the whole thing over and over again, maybe like 8 times.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding.
He
was
so
upset.
Eric.
Oh my gosh.
I heard he rewatched it so many times.
He kept watching it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm kind of like, okay, we've watched it. Maybe I'll watch it a second time. But like, okay.
I'm done.
I mean, if there's years in between, maybe, you know, but like, no.
Yeah.
But he kept watching it. And we talked about that overdose scene. And I, clear as day, don't know why, remember standing in my bathroom and just, like, standing there in front of my mirror. And I remember us having a conversation and just being like, oh, my gosh, I could not imagine. Don't ever do that to me. Yeah. You know, I'm so glad you're done with the stupid pills.
Yes.
And he was like, oh, my gosh, me too. I would never want those withdrawals again. Yep. I would never want to feel that way. We'll never go back.
Yep.
And so it's like, yeah, like when you find out why they really died, you're just like,
it just, how? I think it goes to show how much control it has over them.
Exactly. You
know? Like they didn't choose to be addicts.
Right.
You know, I feel like no one wakes up and they're like, today I'm going to go smoke some heroin because that sounds fun.
Yeah.
It really does, and that's something I learned because I was so naive, like, to drugs.
Me too.
I, like, smoking weed, that's about it, you know?
Right.
Like, everything else, I was like, I didn't really know what it meant to be addicted.
Right.
I didn't understand that part. I was always like, you know, like, if you want to stop, you would stop.
Right.
And I think that's the mindset that a lot of people have. That's why it's so hard to understand.
It's their choice.
Yes. But like living through the withdrawals and the addiction, it's not that easy.
No.
And it's not them. Like, it just has such a hold on them.
Yeah.
And it's so sad when you like see how bad they want out of it.
Right.
But they can't.
I know. It's like, just over and over again.
Yeah.
I remember Kyle talking about it too, and just like, gosh, I never want to do this again. I never want to be in this place. And he would talk so low about himself, like, I'm such a piece of shit.
Yep.
I, like, and we almost broke up at one point because when I found his drugs and he was just crying and just like, I just remember him being like, I have a pill problem and I'm so sorry and like, I'm such a piece of shit.
Probably that you deserve better.
Exactly.
You deserve
so much more than this.
Yeah.
I can't do this with you anymore.
Yeah.
Because someone else will treat you better or whatever. And it was like, you know, you have that feeling. You're like, I love you.
Yeah.
We're
you're
talking
like,
about
I don't
it right
want
now.
Anyone
we
else.
Can we can get through it.
Yeah.
We'll get you help.
Yeah.
And Kyle did get help for a little while. And I mean, but the thing is that I feel like with serious addicts, like, you really do need to stop everything.
Yes.
Because he never stopped everything.
Same.
It's a very slow social thing to go out and drink and be with your family. My family loves to party and drink and have barbecues and whatever.
Yeah.
And it is a very common thing these days, you know? But not everyone can do that. And I just feel like, Kyle would get better and he wouldn't really be drinking, but for a very short amount of time, you know? And then it's like, okay, well, now I'm off the pills. Now I can have some drinks, you know? And that's fine for a little while.
Yeah.
Until it's not good enough anymore, you know? And I feel like that's exactly what led to, you know, Kyle passing away because he was drinking often. And I was getting really pissed about it. And then I feel like in my heart, it's like, all right, well, she won't catch my, like, my cans or my bottle or whatever it is. So I'm just going to take a pill, you know, get my fix, you know. And I feel like maybe that was his mindset. You always want to try and think of
what
they were actually thinking.
Yeah.
But that's something that can really eat at you, too.
Yes.
And, like, try not to think that way. But also coming from... I won't say who it is, I guess. Coming from someone that I'm very close with, he was like, I mean, he went through addiction himself.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just like, I mean, I heard Kyle literally say that he never wanted to do that again. And we talked about how terrible the withdrawals were because neither of us ever wanted to do it again. And he just told me this like 2 weeks ago, too. And he's like, it just makes me think all the time, like, what he must have actually been going through to make that decision to go and actually... buy pills.
Yeah.
So it's, it's just a really sad freaking thought.
Yeah. I know. Like, every time I think that too, it just makes me so sad.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they were feeling bad.
Yeah.
Like, that's to go that low.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
do it. But I don't know. Like, I feel with Eric too, it was like a part of, like, you know, like, depression and not knowing how to express your emotions and your traumas that you've dealt with. Mm-hmm. So you just have all these demons that you're trying to fight on your own.
And I feel like in general, just guys, you know, they don't want to talk about their feelings. They're supposed to be tough. They're supposed to be the strong man of the house, you know, and especially military, you know, Kyle was a Marine. So it's like, especially then you're supposed to have this hard exterior and you're supposed to be tough, you know? And so I feel like he just never wanted to show that weakness, which I did see it, you know, because I was his partner. But he never wanted anyone else to see that. And it's just thinking back at it, I'm sure you think the same way, too. It's like, I wish I would have talked to his family so that we could have taken him somewhere. So I'm not the only one responsible for him getting help.
You want to be there to support, but it's like, how?
Right. Yeah.
Like, especially if they're at a point where they're not accepting it, they don't want it. Oh, yeah, that was hard for me.
Yeah. So then how long did it take for you to, like, get autopsy results and stuff?
So I got it exactly 1 month after he died.
Oh, okay.
So April 26th was the day that I got the autopsy report. But so before then I had already known, because that the lady from the funeral home called me back, and she was like, she told me that they found him like in the praying position and all this stuff. And then I said, okay, what about the drugs? Were there drugs? And then she like kind of stayed quiet, and she was like, let me call him back. And I was like, okay. And then the officer calls me back. Okay. And she goes, so I heard you've been like calling the funeral home and asking a whole bunch of questions. I'm like, yeah, because my husband just died and you're not telling me anything.
Right.
Like, I want to know where he was. Was there anything? Like anything. Tell me anything, you know?
I'm here with nothing.
Yeah. And she's like, okay. And, you know, I think it was kind of hard. That was probably hard for her too. Maybe she was a mom too. And the fact that I'm like, I have three kids, like, really hit her. Because, I mean, that phone call, you could tell she was crying. And the next day when she called me back and I was like, yeah, like, I want answers. She was like, I just had a really hard time yesterday telling you because you were very, like, very emotional. And I didn't know if you had anyone there, like, for support. Mm-hmm. So she was like, do you have anyone with you right now? And I was like, yeah, I was in the car with my dad and my brother. And she was like, yeah, so we did find, you know, like, paraphernalia, and he was in the bathroom, like, in a praying position, but, like, in front of the sink, so it was obviously signs of an overdose, because they found the drugs and all that there. So, yeah, I had already known, like, you know, that was, like, the day after he died. And, you know, like, a part of me, I was just, like, hoping something else would be in the autopsy, you know?
I know.
I was really hoping. I read every single line, like, word for word, and I'm like, nope, that's just...
Yeah, I know. You really, like, I feel like I think, I want to say it took 6 weeks to get Kyle's, and they had told me, too, when I was talking to the coroner right after, you know, the day, like, we're still at my house, at our house, and I'm talking to the coroner, and she's just like, honestly, the coroner's office has actually a lot of deaths right now. So we're kind of backed up. So it's going to take probably a little while. And I will say the biggest advice that this very nice lady gave me, she was just like, I would check on Social Security right away. It can take a while. And, I mean, other than that, she didn't really give me much other information. She just gave me her card, like, okay, you can call if you need anything, whatever. And so I want to say maybe it was, like, 4 weeks. I called him, like, anything yet? Like, are you guys going to call me? Like, I know that we weren't actually married. We have a son together. We were living together. Like, this is my husband, basically. We're, you know, can I get any information? They're like, okay, yeah, let me see. Yeah, they're actually still working on it, you know. And so finally it was like, we finally got the autopsy results, and, you know, I knew what it was. I found the text in his phone of him getting pills. So
did
I
you find anything in the bathroom? Was he in the bathroom?
No, he was on our couch in the living room.
So you didn't, like, find anything there?
There was nothing. But my Ring camera picked him up to, like, go out to his truck. And then he went back inside. And I want to say it was he probably just did it right when he went back inside. And it was probably shortly after that. And I was back home, like, an hour after that. And so when I did find him, I'm like, he was still warm. Like, I checked his pulse right away. He was purple, but, like, he was warm. You know, I literally remember grabbing his wrist right away grabbing his wrist, feeling for his pulse. And I'm just like, okay, well,
yeah.
What do I do now? You know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, after they had taken his body, the next day I went back home to like get stuff, and they had all this crap out, like their needles or like just the caps and stuff for their needles and stuff. And, all the stuff was a mess in the living room. And I remember though, like looking underneath the couch, looking in the couch, and I'm like, Brooks just had started crawling. Yeah. So I'm like, he can literally put anything in his mouth. Yep. And I didn't find anything other than, have you heard of kratom?
Yes, kind of.
It's like, so kratom, which I want to do a whole episode on kratom, mm-hmm. because it is one of those like drugs or supplements, I should say, that's
like for working out.
No, oh, okay. It's like sold in like smoke shops. Oh, it's like a synthetic opiate. Okay. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, exactly. And so I didn't even know what it was really. So when Kyle was clean for a while, he's taking kratom that he picks up from the smoke shop. And I'm not thinking much of it. He's like, oh no, it's fine. I've been taking it since the military, blah, blah, blah. And he even would like, you have a headache, here you go, take some. And I'm like, I did take it a couple times. I'm like, I feel like it makes me feel kind of weird. Yeah. I don't want to take this.
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah. You know?
And even when I was pregnant and not feeling good, he was trying to give me some too. I'm like, I just feel like that's probably not safe. Yeah. But like, that's how like much he believed that it actually was something safe. Like, oh, well, it's natural and it's good, whatever. Like, okay, well, there was one point where bath salts were sold in the stores, okay? And then you see and hear about people eating faces off.
Yeah, so, right.
So it's not freaking safe,
yeah.
You know? And so I don't know if it was the combination between the pills, whatever he took, plus kratom, a synthetic opiate,
yeah,
or a herb or whatever the freaking supplement is. But that, and then alcohol. My brother had told me, he was like, I swear, alcohol and fentanyl makes it so much more strong, and that's probably just that right there is probably what killed him. And I'm like, I don't know. He did have kratom next to him, and that is one thing that the coroner told me. She said, I'm seeing this more and more than you would even think. So I'm like, nobody knows about kratom.
Yeah.
I do want to do an episode about kratom, because nobody knows about it, and it is something that's legal, but it is also, I feel like it's one of those gateway like drugs, like, oh, I can feel like this, but I can also just get this off the street or whatever.
Yes.
Like, it shouldn't be sold in stores. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. And just the fact that the coroner has seen it was like crazy to me. I'm like, wait, you know what this is? This is supposed to be a supplement.
Yeah.
And then I read on it after Kyle died.
Because you want to believe them and you trust them and you, you know,
like,
oh, yeah.
Okay, you're trying to give it to me while I'm pregnant. Yeah. You know, like, don't think it's bad, you know? And I don't know. I wish I would have, like, not been so naive on stupid things like that, you know? Like, the kratom or just, like, letting him tell me whatever.
Yeah.
And I just believe everything. I was so gullible.
Yeah, and I think a part of it, too, is, like, you know, we probably know in the back of our minds, like, this isn't right, but it's like, do I want to fight about this right now? Do I want to make this, you know, like, a thing?
I feel like that happens a lot, though, too. You're just like, okay, let's just keep the peace for now.
Yes.
I don't feel like fighting about it again.
Yeah.
But, like, no, you need to fight about it. It's a big issue.
Yeah.
You want to have them here. You don't want to be in our situation, you know, where they're gone and now we can't fix it, you know?
Right, yeah. And, I mean, I know it's, like, so hard, especially when they're so deep in addiction, like, they feel like you're attacking them almost, you know? And that was, like, my biggest thing with Eric is, like, I am not against you. Like, I am with you.
Right.
But I, like, you have to understand why I'm upset. Like, I have a right to be upset.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, and he would be like, you know, this is why I didn't tell you, because you're, like, all pissed off. And it's like, I'm not going to be happy.
Yeah,
like, I'm not going to be happy about it. Yeah. You know, we went through this. You went through this big withdrawal that I was there with you. Like, I saw you. You know, I had to have someone watch the kids. It was, like, a whole thing that we did multiple times, and we talk about it. And, you know, it's like, you go through those empty promises. Like, I promise I'm never going to do this again. This and that and this and that. And then it becomes more of, like, a trust thing. So he would, like, come home from work, and I could smell the alcohol in his breath.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'd look in his eyes, and he'd be like, I just can't come home without you, like, questioning me and doing... It's like, can you blame me?
Yeah, exactly. Because I feel like that's maybe one of the hardest parts, though, too, is that you want so badly to trust them.
Yes.
And that when they're coming home, they're fine.
Yeah.
But obviously, if you have a past and you know what they're like when they come home messed up,
yeah.
and you know what it's like to have you go through withdrawals.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the time when Kyle would come home, I'm like looking at his eyes like, okay, what did you take? What are you on? Yeah.
You can tell.
You didn't take anything. Okay. But you've been drinking.
Yes.
Like, I can tell.
Yes.
I'm not stupid. Yeah. How long have we been together now? You know, like, come on. I know.
Yeah.
It's like, and then it was totally just deny, you know? Like,
and then that makes you fight because it's like,
I'm like, you're making me feel like I'm so crazy.
Oh,
and
that I told Eric that all the time. He'd be like, you're so crazy. I'm like, you made me crazy.
Yeah.
You are the reason I am doing this.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then eventually he'd be like, he'd apologize like a few days later, be like, you were right. Like, I was drunk or this and that. Or like, you know, I was doing whatever.
Right.
And it's like, I know.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
But I'm not crazy. Like, I just, I don't know.
It's this is so hard.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know. It really is just such a hard situation.
Yeah.
You want them to like
be better.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, but at the same time, it's like, I can't have you freaking gaslighting me. Like, I'm sitting here like, you're doing something and it's like, you seriously can't trust me?
Yeah, it's like no.
You know, you can't ask an addict that because then it makes them want to go and do it more.
Oh my gosh, the amount of times I heard that.
Yeah.
You asking me is making me want to go get high.
I'm exactly.
Like, okay.
And you're just like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
And so that's why I think another thing, too, of like knowing what I know now, you know, I totally would have been like, yeah, let's go get you help. I'll go with you so that they can help me too. How do I deal with this?
Yeah.
I don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, you constantly tell me this and that.
Yeah.
I want to give you tough love, but that is so, so hard.
Yeah.
Like, okay, fine. We're going to break up. I'm not going to be with you until you are clean or whatever it is, you know, but it's like that tough love is really hard.
Yeah, that happened to us a few times, too. And then, like, you think about it, and you're like, but you don't want to be another person who gives up on them.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But, yeah, you're right. It's, like, tough love. Like, what else can you do?
Yeah.
And that is one big regret that I have. They have, it's called Al-Anon for, like, parents or partners of addicts. And he did tell me multiple times, like, you should go so, like, you can understand.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, now it's, like, always excuses. Now, of course, I wish I would have gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, but it's, like, I had bait. Like, it was always when something intense was happening that he would fall back into his addiction. So, like, my pregnancies or, like, you know, like, all these just,
all the
like, hard things. And it's, like, I mean, but it really would have been just so simple for me to, like, log on my phone and go to a meeting. And it's now, like, I wish I would have done that. But I also think that, like, I try not to be so hard on myself because I didn't give up on him. Like, I never would have given up on him.
Right.
I was always there for him. And, you know, like, after going through it, I did start to understand, like, this isn't who he is. This isn't who he wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for us, that's, like, the hardest part, too, because you see what they're capable of being.
Right.
And this person that they are,
mm-hmm.
and, like, they're so amazing, and, like, Eric was the best dad.
Yeah.
Like, he was so good.
Yeah.
Like, he was such a good dad, such a good husband, and it's, like, I wish he could see himself through my eyes.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
they don't see themselves that way, and it's so sad.
Yeah, and I still, like, will yell in the house and just be, like, we did need you.
Yep, same.
We did need you. I know you didn't think that we did, but we did.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
You know, we need you.
Yeah.
And so, it's just really, really hard when someone can't see it themselves, you know?
I love Eric. I mean, I love him so much. I will always love him. If he was alive, I say this all the time, like, I would have been with him.
Right.
Forever. You
know,
like, I would have gone through hell again and again and again because I love him. And he was an amazing father and an amazing husband and just an amazing person.
Uh-huh.
But I wouldn't date anyone like him
ever
again.
Right. And to say that out loud sometimes is really hard.
Yeah.
And
you know you're going to get judged for it.
Yep.
Because especially if people don't understand.
Right.
You know, it's like I'm not saying that I didn't want to be with him. Like,
right.
I would still
and
be
I
with him.
And I would have gone through all the shit with
him. Same. Yeah.
Like, you know.
You would do it all, but now knowing, like, in hindsight, you don't want to do it again.
Right. And you can't change anything.
Nope.
We can't bring them back.
Nope.
But it's, and, you know, this weird messed up way, it's us changing into, I mean, a different person.
Yeah.
Like, I've grown so much, too. Like, the day that Kyle passed, I have on my Ring camera, in the morning, I walked with Brooks out to the front yard, and Kyle caught us on the camera mm-hmm. and was talking to us through the camera. And he started singing Bye Bye Friends from Miss Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's always so special. I have that voice yeah. in a bear for Brooks that's made out of Kyle's shirt, you know. But my point is that it was on 8:17 and at 8:17 in the morning. And so I was like, 8:17, 8:17, that's kind of weird, yeah. you know. And so I looked up, like, just on Google, like, 8:17, yeah. and it showed up with a Bible verse, and it just said, I love those that love me, those that seek me will find me. And at first, I'm, like, in tears, like, oh, my gosh, Kyle's telling me to look for the signs, you yeah. know? Like, I'm always going to look for the signs from him. And you really try and, like, connect anything
yes.
possible
oh, absolutely.
When you're grieving in the beginning.
yeah.
I mean, I still do.
Yeah.
But, at the like, now looking back, too, I'm like, okay, I feel like that was partially a sign from Kyle, but it was my sign from God, too. Like, that's my personal sign to me. Like, you need to go to church.
Yeah.
You need to put, like, you know, you need to put your effort back into church and feel, I don't know, just feel yeah. that connection again, which yeah. I never have. I truly can never say I felt connected with the church.
Yeah.
Ever. Because I grew up Catholic, and I never wanted to listen to anything Same. They were saying.
Yeah.
And, yeah, after Kyle passed, I, like, started going to church regularly every Sunday, and I feel like it's just changing me into a better person. Yeah. And I just have, like, this totally different perspective on life now.
Yeah.
And I really, I could tell you right now, I don't think I would get to this point had he not passed away.
Yeah.
And I think about it all the time. I wish we would have gone to church more together. Yeah. I wish we, like, maybe things would be different now, you know? And, again, it's one of those things, yeah. like, you can always say, what if, yeah. what if, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's really hard to actually open up and say that,
yeah.
that, you know, you just know that you do need different.
Yeah.
You need that extra emotional support, yeah. too, at this yeah. point.
And you, like, feel guilty, too, like, saying it. You know, you feel guilty for your kids because you don't want your kids right. to ever think, like, it's not that you didn't love their dad or, you know, like, he wasn't a good man or, you right. know, it's just, like, it's something you can't describe unless yeah. you've lived through it.
Seriously.
Like, it's yeah. just.
Yeah.
You want, you, I don't want to go through it again.
I know.
Like, I don't want
exactly.
to go through it again.
You just have to protect. I mean, I feel like even more so than your own heart, you're protecting your kids.
Yeah. yeah.
And it's just like, I cannot have, yeah. I don't want to risk it.
Yeah.
I don't want to have any, like, any sort of situation where I'm going to have to be in this situation again
yeah.
and have to go through this again.
Yeah.
And that is a whole other thing, too,
yeah.
just to go through life and think, like, just anything can happen. I feel like it's just so much trauma now. It's like, oh, I had a random thought. What was I thinking the other day? Oh, I'm going to take Brooks to, oh, I was going to take him to our hot tub.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, what if I suddenly, like, passed out and then I drown and then Brooks yeah. is walking around by the pool and then he gets in the pool and he drowns
yeah.
and then someone finds us and we're both dead and we drown.
Yeah.
I'm like,
your mind.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, yeah. brain?
But it happens.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, it happens to kids, too, because mm-hmm. my daughter, I do, I feel for her, because she will ask me, like, just randomly, we'll be mm-hmm. talking about literally anything, like, school, this, that, and out of nowhere, she'll be like, what happens to me if you die? And it's like, oh.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, but,
that gave
like,
me chills.
Like, what, it was the worst when, like, shortly after Eric died, I had to go pick up his ashes because I was still in California, but his ashes were in Arizona and it had to be like a couple weeks. And he went to work, right? And he never came home.
Right.
So I didn't want to tell Emmy, my oldest, that I was going to go pick up his ashes. So
right.
I said, I'm going to go to work. And she lost it. Like, she was like, you can't go to work. You're not going to come back.
Oh, man.
And I was like, oh, my God. Like, how stupid of me to not even think that. Like, you know, like, to put, you know. So, there she is, freaked out, thinking
yeah.
she's never going to see her mom again.
Yeah.
And it comes up more often than you'd think.
Yeah.
Like, always, like, who's going to watch me if you die? What happens
mm-hmm.
to me? What happens to my brother? What happens to my sister? Do we stay together? Do we do,
mm-hmm.
like, they, now she's worried about.
Yeah. And that's a whole different ballgame that
yeah.
I'm not in yet,
yeah.
you know?
And it's like, what can I, I can't say I'm not going to die because I don't know that.
Right.
You know, like, you don't
yeah.
know. So I try to tell her, you know, like, there's a plan. If something happens, like, you'll go to grandma and papa, like, you know, you won't be split up, and try to make her feel as comfortable as possible. Right. But it's sad, like, what your brain goes through, especially as a child. Like, you're five and you're thinking these things.
I know.
Like,
I just... No kid should ever have to deal with that. Yeah. That's terrible. Yeah. Yeah. And I know that when she went to kindergarten, that was
a tough... That was really hard. That was really hard. She said she didn't want to go to kindergarten because she was going to be the only one with a dead dad. And, you know, like, you know, when Kyle first passed away, I'm sure you probably felt the same. Like, you feel like you just have, like, this big sign on your...
Yes.
You know, like, I'm a widow. Yes. Or, like, my husband or my partner everybody just knows. Died. Everyone knows. So, I think that's how she felt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she was going to daycare before that, and her teacher did kind of tell me, like, she's not really talking to people. She just kind of sits, you know, like, in the corner by herself. And then she did tell me one day, she was like, I'm just not like everyone else. And I was like, why? And she was like, because my dad's dead. And I was like, but do you know? Like, does anyone know your dad's dead? Because I don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Like, your teachers know, but they don't tell anyone.
Right.
Has anyone else told you that their parents are dead? And she's like, no. And I'm like, nobody knows anything.
Yeah.
Unless you tell them.
Right.
Like, this is up to you.
Right.
And that was the conversation I had with her, like, going into kindergarten when she was like, I don't want to go. I'm going to be the only one with a dead dad. I was like, first of all, we don't know that. You know, like, we don't know.
Right.
There might be other kids.
Right.
But, yeah, it hurt. It's like, you know, you don't want your children to feel these ways, but they do. And it's like, how can you comfort them in, you know, and so.
Yeah, because as a parent, you're like, what do I
do? Do you just
want to
protect them and, like, take it all away? Yeah, but it's like, what can you say? So I just, I mean, I tell her the truth, you know, like, it does suck, and I will tell your teacher, but that's it. And if you ever want to tell anyone else, that's on you. And
right.
If you want to tell them how your dad died, you do, or you say whatever you want. That's your decision.
Yeah.
Not mine.
Right.
And I will never step over that. Like,
right.
That will always be up to you.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, she's been fine. She's been loving kindergarten. On my birthday, like, about a little over a month ago, she did tell me, because she has, like, packets of pictures of Eric in her desk.
Aww.
And she told me, like, she came home and she was like, yeah, so today I was, like, looking at pictures of Dad, and her seat partner asked her, like, who is that? And she was like, it's my dad, and he's dead. And she was like, he just kind of looked at me sad and said, it's okay if you want to cry. It's okay to be sad.
Oh my gosh, that makes me want to cry.
Yeah, I literally cried when she told me this. And then she's like, but then he told me that it's okay if I want to be happy. And I'm like, yeah, literally crying. I'm like,
good on those parents.
So that's what I said. That's the first thing I said. Like, I'm thinking, like, wow, these parents really did a good job.
Seriously.
And I'm so glad that the first encounter she has in school is, like, a positive one.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And not, because that's one thing I'm always afraid of. Like, I don't want her to be bullied for not having a dad.
Yeah, because you can't always be there.
You know, kids can be mean. Also, like, knowing that your dad died of an overdose, like, I can already hear it in my head, like, oh, your dad didn't love you, he chose drugs over you, he did this and that, you know, like, I'm scared for the day that happens, because I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
And kids are mean.
Yeah,
and
I know.
So when she told me that, I was like, oh, like, I was just so glad it was a good experience, you know, and, she's been loving it.
Man, and that puts a totally different perspective too for what you need to tell your kids maybe that aren't even experiencing grief, like, hey, other kids have might not have their parents, so you always need to be nice and just be kind, you know. I mean, regardless, you should be teaching your kids that anyways,
right.
But just I don't know, you don't want to put that in a kid's head though,
right.
Either,
because
it's just such a hard
situation.
If your
kid doesn't know death, it's like, it's not a comfortable topic to talk about.
No, it's not.
And you don't want to scare them, like, you don't want to be like, oh, anything, you know, like,
yeah,
it's I just just being kind is really what you can teach them.
I know.
We have a message from our sponsors, Aspire Counseling Services. We just want to remind everyone that seeking treatment should never be stigmatized. Aspire specializes in providing support and treatment for both teens and adults with mental health and substance use disorders, recognizing that these conditions often do coexist. They are an amazing resource, and you can get started by texting or calling the number 888-585-7373 to enroll at any time.
So I do want to talk also about Kevin.
Yes.
Yeah, you're engaged now.
I am engaged now.
Totally changing topics here, which congratulations,
Thank
by the
you.
Way.
Thank you.
I'm sure it feels just a little bit, like, weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
So.
Well, I guess, hang on, wait. Let's talk about how you and
how
Kevin met.
Yeah. So we met at Camp Widow in San Diego. So his wife also passed away, unfortunately. So
when did she pass away?
It will be 4 years in December.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's been a little bit longer
coming
for him.
Yeah. So we did meet at Camp Widow, and we kind of just became really good friends. So Eric died in March. Camp Widow was in July.
Okay.
So I met him and a few other, like, younger people in our group. We all stayed, like, really good friends.
Uh-huh.
He lived in L.A., so after, like, we did stay really good friends, I just felt like we connected from the beginning because his girls were, like, about the same age when their mom died as
uh-huh.
my kids were. So he was always just someone I could vent to and, like, not have to worry about, like, sounding crazy.
Right.
You know, like, how you and I speak,
yeah.
like, all these things. Like, it was
right.
like that. Like,
yeah.
it was just so nice to have someone who just got it, like,
right.
just understood,
yeah.
no judgment, you know. And at that point, like, Eric did just die. I wasn't even, like, thinking that way.
Right,
you know?
Right. Like, I just need some
yeah,
support.
Yeah.
yeah.
And we did hang out a couple times when I was, because I was living at my parents' for a little bit. And we went to Disneyland with the kids. Like, we'd hang out. And then I moved back to Arizona about, I want to say, like, it was the Friday before Thanksgiving that
okay.
I moved. So I got my own place. I moved back to Arizona. I left my kids out here with my parents so they could watch them while I moved in.
Uh-huh.
He has some family. His late wife's cousins live in Arizona.
Okay.
So he was out there for Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
So the night before Thanksgiving, my cousin asked me if I wanted to go out with her and a couple friends to have some drinks. And I just asked Kevin if he wanted to come with us because he was in town.
Yeah.
And we all went out. It was really fun. And I just remember going home, and I just felt like shit. And I was like, I was telling my cousin, I was like, I think I have feelings for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I like him. Like, yeah, I was like, I felt like I was cheating on Eric.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
It's a weird feeling.
It was so bad. The next day, I had to pick up my kids halfway, like, in Blythe from my parents, had Thanksgiving at my cousin's house, and then I got really sick.
Uh-huh.
Like, very, I think it was just, you know, me and my brain. Like, I just made myself physically ill.
Yeah.
Like, I was puking.
Oh my
I just
gosh.
Had, like,
uh-huh.
a stomach, but, like, it was just out of nowhere. And he was leaving town the next day, and he stops by and brings me chicken noodle soup with
Aww.
His girls. Not knowing he's the reason for my sickness.
Oh my gosh, that's when you're like, well, I'm actually sick
this
to my stomach
because of you.
This is you. You're doing something
yep.
to me.
Yeah, so for a couple months after that, it's funny because, like, it took me moving to Arizona, and then that's when I was like, I like you, you know, not here when we lived an hour from
yeah,
each other.
Yeah,
so then we had to do the long distance thing. We saw each other quite often, like, every other weekend.
That's nice.
But I was always like, I don't like you. We're not dating. This is not a date. Uh-huh. You know, like, I always had to say
that. I don't want it to be official. Yeah.
So, like, we joke about it now. Like, we don't have an anniversary because there's no anniversary. Like, we were never dating.
Right.
So, there's
You're
no.
Like, so, yeah. We don't have a date now.
Yeah.
Now you just have an engagement date.
Yeah. So, yeah, it took me. I was scared, honestly. I was so afraid of judgment.
Yeah.
I mean, my parents can see right through me, so they obviously knew something was going on.
Right.
My parents have always been so supportive in everything and anything.
Right.
So, yeah, they weren't really who I was worried about. I was just kind of afraid of, like, friends and, I was really not afraid, but, you know, like, I knew it was going to be hard on Eric's mom. Like, that's hard,
yeah.
You know, like, seeing, I always tell myself, like, Kevin's presence is a reminder of Eric's absence, and that's so hard,
right.
I can imagine, for
right.
her to see, you
yeah.
know, so I tried to, like, keep it on the down low and just for as long as possible, but she's really supportive, too.
Yeah, I mean, how'd you eventually tell her?
I think she knew, too. Like, she kind of knew. Because I would talk about him, like, even before we were, like, dating. She knew
right.
that I met him at Camp Widow. And, you know, because I'd, like, talk about him and all my other friends that I met. So, she kind of just knew. And then, yeah, when I told her, she was kind of like, yeah, I know. You know,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
You know, she wasn't ready to meet him, which that was fine. Like, I was like, I respect your decision. Like,
right.
when you want to meet him, like, that's fine. But, yeah, he's great. He's really good with my kids, and he's really good with me, and...
Yeah.
I think everyone sees that, so
yeah.
it's kind of hard not to...
Yeah, not to support that
yeah.
when it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's got to be so, so nice and refreshing to have someone that can literally sit and talk about their true feelings
yeah.
with, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can sit and talk about Eric because he can sit and talk about his wife,
yes.
and
yeah,
that's really special.
Yeah.
Like, my friend that I brought up earlier, my friend Caleb, you know, we had our episode together, and same thing with his... Now, I mean, his dad that adopted him now, because his dad passed away, and so weird, his dad and his now new stepdad's late wife, they passed away on the same day.
No way.
Yes, on the same day, 1 year apart, but the same day,
wow.
and like one of their pastors like set him up, you
yeah.
know, like, oh, you need to meet this
yeah.
person. And so I think that is such a special bond to,
yeah.
like, have with someone that, you know, you could just talk about your loved one and not
yeah.
feel like this jealousy,
yes.
you know? That's something that I am so
yeah.
so terrified of.
Yes.
Because, yeah, it's like, they're gone.
Yeah.
We didn't break up.
Yeah.
So I still am going to talk about them.
Yeah.
Not only did we not break up, but I have a son with him.
Yep.
He deserves to know who his dad is.
Yeah.
And I'm going to continue to talk about him and
yeah.
just honor him throughout the rest of our lives, you know? But it's like, I know that just really takes
yeah.
someone special to be able to
yeah.
deal with that,
yeah.
you know? I feel like at this point in my life, yeah, if I were to date someone, say that I didn't lose Kyle, you know, dating someone as a widow... I mean, you would think, too, like, that's really
yeah.
hard. How do I compete with this person
yes.
that's gone,
yeah.
you know? And someone that they're always going to be sad about, you know, it's like, it's got to be hard on someone,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, because, you know, they're always going to love this person, you know? It's like, yeah, it does take someone special. Because,
yeah.
Yeah, like, same. If I were to think about it, if I, you know, were dating and I dated... someone who lost their wife, I would probably be jealous too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can't
yeah.
help it. It's
right.
just kind of...
Yeah, and I'm trying to find, like, that balance, because I did go on a date, I want to say it was, like, maybe 8 or 9 months after Kyle passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great time. Afterwards, oh, yeah, I lost it.
Yeah.
I was a mess.
Yeah.
Because I went out on a date with him on, like, Friday or Saturday or something, and then Sunday at church, like... I was holding back those tears because, yeah, the message was, like, speaking to me that day,
yes.
you know? And, of course, I'm sitting there and my mom could tell, you know,
yeah.
like you said, your parents could tell.
Yeah.
My mom was just like, Jory, I can tell, like, you're really struggling today. Like, are
yeah.
you okay? Like, and I'm like, no, I'm not okay. Like, I had so much fun on this date, but all I can think about now is, like, all I can think about is Kyle,
yep.
you know? Like, how is this supposed to be my life?
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to be dating anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and so that didn't work out, yeah. obviously. And so it took me quite a few months again to, like, get back up on the dating apps.
Yeah.
And I did go on another, like, coffee date with a different guy. But, you know, it's just, regardless, it's just it's a shitty situation.
It's so shitty.
And, but I do feel hopeful that, you know, I'll find someone.
Yeah.
I don't doubt that. I really
yeah.
don't. I know that I feel like there's someone special out there for everyone.
Yeah.
And especially in, like, our situation,
yeah.
you know, and I'm,
yeah,
I'll find it eventually.
Yeah. You will find it. And, you know, I think the thing is, like, don't settle. You know what you deserve and you know
right.
what Brooks deserves.
Right.
You know, like, you just don't, we don't need to settle for
yeah.
anything. Just
yeah.
Just because, I mean, we're lonely. It
I know.
Sucks. Like,
yeah.
we, and that's another thing that, like, people don't get, like, oh man, the comments I get on Instagram, like, awful about how I'm dating again, or I, like, now I'm engaged, like, oh, you probably killed your husband, oh, I wish it was you, literally crazy
are
comments.
You serious?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, if my husband died, I would, like, never remarry. And I'm like, great for you, but is he dead? He's
yeah.
not dead, so come back to me when he dies,
right?
And let
exactly.
me know how you feel.
Yeah,
like,
I can't believe that people are seriously that terrible to
yeah.
say that.
Yeah,
like, you're obviously miserable in your own life.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I hope you get help
yeah.
that you need, because
yeah.
that is not
yeah.
cool.
I know.
Who says that?
I know. It's like all these keyboard warriors. I'm like, but you would never say that
seriously.
To my face.
Exactly. Yeah. You're just going to sit behind your screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk all the shit you want.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. And that was one of the things I was so afraid of, too, is, like, people were going to judge me and be like, oh, like, that. This is so soon. Like, you know,
yeah.
it's like, it just happened. Like,
yeah.
And, like, what do you want me to do?
Right.
Like, do
yeah.
you want me to sit here and cry all day,
yeah.
every day? Would
you
that make
be
you
happy
feel
for
better?
Me.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me.
Like, guess what? I can still cry
yeah.
and be
like,
sad,
I still
but
cry.
He
yeah.
understands.
Yeah. We just yeah. cry together.
Exactly. Yeah. We both lost someone
yeah.
like our spouse, you
yeah.
know? So you should be happy for
yeah.
me that I'm not sitting here depressed
yeah.
and just, like...
And for my kids, like,
exactly.
that they can see happiness,
right.
too.
They
and
see a happy
just,
family again.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, they know what it feels like. Obviously, they wish their parents were still alive. We
right.
do, too, but
yeah.
it's nice to have a home and, like,
yes.
you know,
and
structure.
It's life.
And, yeah.
And, unfortunately, it still is going to continue.
Yeah.
Like, what do you, like, okay, at 5 years, that's the mark? Like,
yeah.
you know?
Right. Yeah. When is it acceptable
exactly.
for you, for me to start dating again?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah. Are you going to accept that
yeah.
I can date now, this person on Instagram that I have no idea
yeah,
who you are?
Who you
like,
are.
That's just crazy to me.
Yeah. People are wild.
Ugh, I know.
But I will say, too, it's been really nice for the kids because, like, you know how I mentioned earlier, like, Emmy would be like, oh, it's because no one really knows, like, but I'll find them, like, I'll catch them talking to each other about, like, their parents
uh-huh.
and, like, about death and heaven and all this stuff,
you know?
And it's like, they have a connection.
Yeah, that's
like,
what I was gonna say. That's gotta be so
yeah.
nice for the kids,
yeah.
too, like, being so young and their little perspectives
yeah.
on it. To be able to share together, like,
yeah.
that's really cool for them.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's not, like, I wish they had little, like, kids groups, like, play dates or something
yeah.
for grieving kids.
Yeah.
Because now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, not everyone will get that opportunity
yes.
to have the kids together,
yeah.
you know? But, like,
yeah.
that would, yeah, I don't know. I think
yeah.
that's a cool, really
it's,
cool thing.
It's,
and
it's
that's special.
Nice. Yeah, it's definitely special. And just, like, having Kevin and I, you know, we're so open with them and they feel so comfortable talking to us
right.
about, like,
yeah.
you know, like, their parents, like, Emmy will eat something and Kevin will know Eric liked it. And he'll be like, oh, your dad really liked that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, just, like...
That's so sweet.
We're on the same page and we both, you know, like, we have pictures around the house of their mom
mm-hmm.
and of Eric. Like, it's...
Right.
Trying to keep the memory alive, but also knowing that they feel so comfortable around us to do
right.
so
yeah
is what that makes me really happy too.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
yeah.
so awesome. And and then going back to the kids though, so well, I know that Emmy kind of was there and kind of
yeah.
had to see
yeah.
your reaction.
Yeah.
How'd you tell your other kids?
So, you know, like, even when I told Emmy, well, I didn't tell her, but, like, she saw that, I think she didn't really know what was kind of going on. So I didn't tell her that day, like, that he died. But I was, like, crying, obviously, and she was like, is Daddy sick or hurt? Mm-hmm. Is he okay? And this is one of my biggest regrets, because I said, oh, no, he's fine. Like, don't, you know, like, I lied straight to her face because I didn't know what to say yet.
Right.
And that was one thing that, like, I was Googling. Like, how do you tell a child that this happened? Because I don't want to mess her up, you know? She didn't know. When I left the next day to go pick up the box truck, she's, like, calling me, and she's like, Mom, are you with Dad? Like, I want to talk to him. And I was like, oh, he just, like, walked away. Let's call his phone. So I, like, three-way his phone, and I have to mute myself because she's, like, leaving her dad a voicemail. And here I am knowing that he's dead. And she's like, I'm so excited. You're, like, coming home today and, like, you know, like, all this stuff. But I'm like, I can't tell her over the phone. Right. Like, I have to do it in person.
Right.
So that, oh, my God, that was... That was so sad.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah. So I did get home, and the first thing she asks me right when I walk through the door is, where's Daddy? And I was like, okay, like, let's go upstairs. Like, I need to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I have some really sad... She was, like, so excited, so happy, like, thinking Dad was coming home. And I'm like, I have something really sad to tell you. And her face just went blank. And I was like, Daddy's dead. Which means his body stopped working, his heart stopped beating, he's no longer breathing. And she goes, well, how long is he going to be dead for? And I was like, I just started crying. And I was like, no, like, it's not, he's not coming back. Like, he's dead, it's not, you know. And she was 4 and a half. They were so close. They were very, very just, like, attached by the hip. So even then, it still kind of took her a while, because she would, like, make comments like, Mom, let's go to the grocery store, because I think if we're gone long enough and we come home, he'll be back, you know. And I think it was, like, so hard, because it was so hard for me, because I'm like, I don't want you to think that Dad's choosing not to come home. You know, like,
he wants
it's not
to
a
be
choice
here with you.
He wants to be here, but he, you know, he's dead. And that's everything I read was like, that's what you have to, like, keep repeating, that you can't say, like, oh, they passed away, or they did this, or, like, they fell asleep and they never woke up, because then she'd be scared to sleep and, like, not wake up. So
that's
it
what
all
happens
said,
with Kyle's nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
They were, like, afraid to go to sleep. Because it was like, that, well, what if I just don't wake up?
Exactly.
So then eventually it's like, you just gotta tell them the truth.
You have to
because
tell them the truth.
Now they're terrified, you know, and you don't want don't have to go through that either.
So I mean, that's really all I could do. Jackson was 2 and a half. He didn't get it. I literally I still told him because I felt the need to have to say it, you know. So I was like, I said, Dad's dead. And then he just said something about Dad and was, like, laughing and continued to play. And then every time we'd see a box truck on the road, he'd be like, there's Daddy, like, he's coming home. And he was the hardest one. Probably for about a year straight, like, every day I had to tell him Eric was dead, because he would always ask me.
He's like, all right, Dad's going to be home.
When's he coming? When's he going to do this? So, like, just a few months ago is when I finally had to stop that. And then he started telling me that he wanted to die so he could go see Daddy.
But
he doesn't get it, you know? Like, he doesn't want to die, but he's like, he'd be like, I'm going to die tonight, like, when I'm putting him to bed. He's like, I'm going to die tonight so I can go to heaven, and I'll be back in the morning. And it's like, please don't.
Your poor little heart.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, you just think you can go visit him and, like, come back and... And Riley, I mean, she was 14 months, maybe. She doesn't. She does not remember. She doesn't like the pictures, you know. We talk about them and stuff. But I feel like for some time there, like, I would give her, like, his pillow, because I made those Daddy dolls also. And she would, like, just refuse it. Like,
really?
And it made me sad. And I was thinking, like, I wonder if her mind, it's, like, abandonment. Like, because she doesn't know.
Right.
You know? Like, even if I tell her now, she's going to be 3 in January, she still doesn't, like, comprehend death and, like, you know. So, Yeah, I feel like she just felt abandonment. Like, yeah. You know, like...
It took Brooks a while to, like, wanted to touch his dad's pillow, you know, or the cutout pillow.
Yeah.
And then he kind of got into this phase recently where he wanted to bring it everywhere. Yeah. Like, it's got to be in the car with us. Yeah. It's got to go to sleep with me. I want it to sit on the couch next to me.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
Yeah, but, I mean, even just the other day, though, he walks into my room, and I haven't touched, like, me and Kyle had separate closets. Mm-hmm. And... he, like, opens up Kyle's closet, and he starts just, like, walking inside the closet. I'm like, oh, no, like, we're going to stay out here. That's all Dada's stuff. And he's like, Dada's stuff. And I'm like, yeah, it's Dada's closet. And so now he knows that it's Dada's closet, and he keeps going over there, and he'll open the door and say, Dada's closet, and he just walks right in there, you know? And I'm like, I've been struggling with, like, okay, how am I going to, like, put his stuff in boxes, you know, which I bought the box like 8 months ago and I still haven't put it in the box.
Yeah.
And at this point, I feel like I am finally ready. It's just finding the time at this point because I'm not going to get rid of it. You know, I just need to put it away.
Yeah.
I could use that closet space.
Yeah. It's hard though. All these emotions just come running back.
Yeah, exactly. Because you feel like you're going through such a good, like, good period. And then one little thing can just make you lose it.
Yep.
But going back with your kids, too, I don't even know what age they would start counseling, but did Emmy go to counseling?
So Emmy did go to counseling. You know, there aren't really a lot of options out there for kids, and it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
That's something that... Kevin and I talk about all the time because he obviously went through it with his kids at that age too, and it's kind of just frustrating. It's like kids are just kind of forgotten about, and you know, you always hear people say like, oh, well, kids are so resilient. It's like, yeah, they are, but like, that's
why wouldn't we give them the tools?
Like, they still lost a lot more than, you know, just because they won't remember or they won't you know, like, they're so young, it doesn't mean they didn't lose so much. And, I just feel like there's not a lot of tools out there for kids. Because even, like, grief groups, like, I have Emmy in a grief group, and I can't take Jax yet. Like, you have to be a certain age.
Yeah.
which, like, I understand. You know, young kids are sometimes out of control, and they don't... You know?
Yeah, but, they're not going to pay attention or whatever it is.
Yeah, but, I mean, I can tell, like, Jax has definitely been affected by it. Yeah. Like, you can tell by his behavior and what do I do? Like, I need help. Like, what do I do? He needs help. Like, what do we do?
So, I don't know. That is such a hard situation. Yeah. Because, obviously, when they start school, there's a school counselor. Yes. And you can start with school counseling.
Right.
That's actually who I saw when I was in elementary school. My friend passed away. I just saw the school counselor, and I was very also lucky that I connected with her right away.
Yeah.
So my mom didn't have to go on this big search to help find me a better counselor, but I feel like that's just so hard.
Yeah.
Especially the littles. Like, they're not going to sit and they're go not to gonna a do, grief, grief
so
group,
it's like,
you know?
I understand, you know, but it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, and, and even with Emmy, I feel like it did help her. But she, I don't know, she just didn't really, like, open up, and at one point she was like, I want to stop, and I was like, okay, like, we can take a little break, but we're not gonna stop. Yeah. But then she started kindergarten, and I didn't take, because she would go during the day. So, but now she asks me all the time, she's like, I want to go back to therapy, so I'm like, okay, we need to put you back in therapy.
But, and then did you go to therapy too?
I did go to therapy. It did take me some time.
Everyone's so different with that.
I feel like I was in denial for so long, especially with how he died. So, yeah, I want to say it was, like, close to the year mark when I finally went to a doctor, because I needed help. Like, I was just not doing it.
Yeah.
Went to therapy. I did get put on antidepressants, and it's been very helpful.
I actually, we talked about this, too, because I was really considering going on antidepressants as well, because I just had my moments, you know, where I just, like, I was constantly tired throughout the whole entire day. I'm like, I swear, I could probably sleep all day long.
Yeah.
I obviously can't because I have Brooks, but I wish I could just stay in bed and then I'm up and I'm just a zombie.
Yeah.
Just like going through the motions, you know, just like life is going on around me.
You're like, this is my life every day. Like I have to feel like this every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really hard to get your energy back up because you're just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I just don't care, you know?
Yeah.
So I did consider it for a while. But I have actively been going to therapy since even before Kyle's funeral, actually.
Yeah.
But I think the only reason why I was so open to therapy in the very beginning was because of me going when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So my mom had said something like, you should go to therapy. And I'm like, oh, I know.
Yeah.
Like right away, I know. It's like two weeks later. I'm like, yes, I can't wait to find a therapist.
Yeah.
And actually I found my old like school counselor from way back when, and I was going to reach out to her and I was like, I don't know if that would be weird because I was like 10 and like that's like a completely different thing. I don't know if I'd want to share all of my like, you know, the addiction side of like our relationship and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like talking with her when I was little, it was all innocent. My friend got hit by a car. Like this is like different. This is like relationship stuff. Like, you know, and I was like, I don't know. I just didn't feel like that was going to be a good fit this time around. And I'm very thankful for my therapist now. I love her.
Yeah, she sounds great.
Yeah, she's really cool.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think that we kind of covered everything that I want to talk about. And I really do commend you for coming on and sharing the full story.
Yes.
I know that's really hard, especially just the stigma of everything. So I'm really proud of you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for giving me this safe space.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
And I really thank you for making the drive out here. I know we've been trying to do it for a while, but like, I'm so glad you're here.
Me too.
And the next time you come, we're going to like make more of a day out of it, weekend out of it, whatever. But I will say one thing that I think is so important for people is to keep those connections, whether it's on Instagram or whatever. Keep those connections with other widows, other people that are experiencing what you're experiencing, because I'm so thankful for our friendship.
Yes.
Even though we haven't been in front of each other, except for today at this point.
I feel like we've been there for each other.
But and I feel like I definitely, like, it's not even a question that I can call you one of my friends, and we have met for the first time today in person. But yeah, keep those connections.
Yeah.
I feel like it's really important, and I do appreciate, like, having that.
Yeah. Yeah. So. You know, as ugly as Instagram can be, it can also be such a good place for you to find connections.
Right.
I mean, that's, I have met a lot of people going through the same thing we're going through.
Yeah.
Young widows that feel alone. And once you share your story, they're like, oh, I'm not the only one.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You know? And it is nice.
Right.
It's nice to have those connections.
Yeah. I feel like even in the very beginning when we were first kind of messaging back and forth, it was like, we were kind of both tiptoeing around the stories. We're like, okay, well, I just found Kyle at home, and I was saying, like, I still have no idea what happened, you know? And you're like, Eric was found at the hotel, and I have no idea. He had, you know, cardiac arrest or whatever it was. So it's like, finally, we both came out and told each other what actually happened. And it was like, I don't know, for me, it was like, oh my gosh, thank God I have someone that I can fully, like,
crazy similar stories and just,
I mean, in general,
judgmental, you know, it's so nice to have someone like that.
Yeah. So, well, thank you for coming
on.
Thank
you so much for having me.
All right, guys. Well, as always, don't forget to tune in on all of our socials on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. You can also listen in to full episodes on YouTube, and you can listen in on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.